Real Life with Laura.
Penn Jillette. I know you're working on funding a director's cut. Is it a horror film? Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
What the heck is it?
Yeah, the movie's idea is to have me be a bad guy, which I really want to be, and I'm suited for it. You know, I'm 6'7".
You're huge.
Pounds.
Yeah, you're massive. You're a massive man.
I should be a frightening bad guy.
So do you want to be like Richard Kiel from, you know, Jaws from the James
yeah.
Bond deal? Is that what you want?
Well, you know, that's what big guys are supposed to do.
I'm telling you.
Real Life with Laura. Share this episode with your friends, and don't forget to come back for a brand new episode next week on PodcastOne.com.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. A government shutdown over a spending resolution to begin the new fiscal year is one thing, but then there is the issue of the national debt ceiling. The Treasury Department says that they'll have very little cash on hand by October 17th, and that's after all the money shuffling they've been doing, because in fact the government ran up against the debt ceiling months ago, but it's been spending ever since. And now, knocking on the door of $17 trillion in the visible portion of the national debt, the Washington way is to borrow and spend even more. Instead of increased spending and increased taxes, Ron Paul suggests a grand bargain for liberty. We'll talk about it next.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
Have a website for your business? Great. But now what? With 95% of consumers now turning to the internet before making purchases, simply having a website is no longer enough if it's not being found in search results. But online marketing can be confusing, and simply put, it's hard to do it all and do it well. ESIOH.com, pronounced SEO, is making it easy and affordable for small businesses to be found when potential customers search Google, Bing, and Yahoo. ESIOH.com has made it their mission to provide online marketing that will help grow your business's online presence by getting your website in front of as many interested searchers as possible. Never outsourced, all of their work is done in their California office and is 100% compliant with Google Webmaster Guidelines, which means the methods they use to improve your online presence today will in no way penalize your website in the future. No contracts, commitments, or setup fees either. Simply $599 a month. 30-day, no questions asked, 100% money-back guarantee. Try them out for a month, and if it's not what you expect or you change your mind, they'll give you your money back. They are that sure they'll exceed your expectations. You will not find a company that works harder to increase your online presence. So go to ESIOH.com now and tell them you heard about them on the Ron Paul Podcast. When freshman Senator Barack Obama said that a Bush debt ceiling hike was a sign of leadership failure, he was right. So instead of more failure, how about a grand bargain for liberty? Tell us about it.
Well, I think what we should do is admit the truth of what's going on. It's all politics in Washington. They're not talking about the problem. And both sides generally believe in the same thing. You know, one of the big issues going on right now is putting back in the military money that was removed by sequester. And both sides aren't saying a thing about it, but that's sort of automatic. And, you know, this idea that the world's going to come to end is not quite the case. I think that everybody knows that we've gone through this quite a few times, 17 times, matter of fact, in the last 30 years, and nothing major happens. But I think what we need to do is to recognize this, because they're agitating only for more spending. Yes, you say, well, no, the Republicans are for less spending. The Democrats are for more spending. Not exactly. You know, if Republicans were in charge, they'd take a large portion of Obamacare and they'd get it through just like they did prescription drug programs. So I think what they're doing in Washington is not helping liberty in one way, other than the fact that hopefully the people will wake up and look at it and understand it a little bit better on what's going on. The annoying part of this whole debate to me is the charges made, especially by the left, that anybody who opposes what Obama's doing, they're either a racist or they're an extremist. So if you believe in the Constitution, balanced budget, sound economic policy, a sound currency, going to war only with a declaration, you're some sort of philosophic extremist, and you're the problem. At the same time, they're advocating doing something that I think has brought us to our knees, and they're not recognizing this. You know, and they're worried, and they talk politically about a shutdown, and I think that's just really misleading. The shutdown is not going to. Matter of fact, I think, you know, today, while we're making this particular recording, the stocks have, you know, not minded it one bit. They're not worried about a shutdown. Maybe they see this as a positive. But I think what they should be really concerned about, if they're concerned about liberty, is the breakdown of the system. Although it's not on the immediate horizon, and not many people are saying that it's going to happen soon, but we cannot continue with the policies that we have. The process in Washington is broke because the government is broke. The desire for government still exists. So as long as we do this, either continue to spend and continue to borrow and continue to print money, there will be a breakdown of the system. And this, even when we talk about the increase in the national debt, that is on the horizon. And some people think this is much worse, that we'll lose, that we will default. That's not going to happen. Not in the way they're talking about. We're always going to pay the bills. Just think about, what did the Fed do in the midst of the financial crisis? Openly, the Congress bailed out a lot of the well-to-do corporations and banks. But the big bailout came from the Federal Reserve off the books. And they spent trillions and trillions of dollars. And they weren't American citizens. They weren't middle-class Americans. They were, you know, big banks, international banks, foreign governments and foreign central banks. We extended the credit because the world was accepting our credit. So if they can do that, to worry that, oh yes, we're not going to make our payment, and the whole thing will come down. It'll come down because they will be able to prop it up, and eventually the dollar will lose its value. But we're not going to default in that manner. The default will come eventually by just passing out money that doesn't have purchasing power. That is a default. Matter of fact, it's every bit as bad and sometimes worse because it's so deceptive. Is that the default comes by, if you bought a treasury bill, you know, and held on to it for 10 years for $1,000, you might get $100 worth of purchasing power back. That means you've lost 90%. The government has defaulted 90%. And if you'd happen to have a 100-year bond in 1913, which they actually sold back then, you'd get about 2 cents worth of purchasing power back, because the Fed has defaulted on the value of the dollar. It's very, very serious. They're not talking about the things that are important to so many of us. That is the cause of liberty. They're avoiding that in its entirety, and they're protecting the military spending at the same time. So I'm very concerned, you know, what it means, because there are a lot of these things, you know, in the close down of the government, they protect almost everything, you know, that they want. All the surveillance goes on, NSA goes on, all the military stuff goes on, and the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI and all the spying on us, that all continues. So it's really, they're avoiding the issue, which is, what should the role of government be? And that is what we as believers in liberty have to do, is to emphasize the fact that the role of government is not to take care of everybody from cradle to grave and guarantee safety and prosperity for everybody, but more to direct our attention to protection of liberty and allow people to take care of themselves.
Well, they are avoiding the real issue here at the beginning of the new fiscal year. Everybody knows that at the end of this fiscal year, government spending will have grown, the government debt will have grown, government will be larger. But I'm a little bit shocked by the people that want to even end the statutory debt ceiling exercise. It seems to me that it's a good thing, because it's one of the few things that people can understand. They can understand that this is a little bit like raising the limit on your MasterCard so you can borrow more money to pay your Visa card. And yet there are people in the government that want to even end this exercise in raising the national debt ceiling. Timothy Geithner is a good example, former Treasury Secretary on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, Mitch McConnell has proposed ending this national debt ceiling requirement.
It's totally irresponsible, and that would just facilitate it. They're not bogged down with the people recognizing what's going on. It would hasten that day of reckoning. That's for sure. That's what would happen. And I think it's just being temporarily postponed as we see that the world still are wanting to use dollars and take dollars. But the day of reckoning will be hastened if they don't go through this, what some people refer to as just a ritual. But to say that it doesn't it doesn't change the debt, as the president said, it really does, because like you say, it's a credit card. You give them a credit card, and what is the extra credit for? That means that you can use the new credit to pay off your interest and buy more stuff until finally, you know, the credit card company says no more, and there has to be a limit. And the worst part about this credit card analogy is when the government is doing it themselves, or the government is guaranteeing it. And that, of course, is involved in something like student loans or mortgages for houses. The guarantee is always there, so there's always an overextension. So in many ways, it still baffles me that the whole thing stays together for as long as it does, because it's very, very fragile. I work on the assumption that the foundation of our free market system and the monetary system have been totally eroded. And the building is still up, and people are hoping the wind doesn't come along and blow the whole thing down. But right now, it looks like it's standing, and they're willing to pass bills like Obamacare and provide, you know, free medicine for so many people and create a bureaucracy. This bureaucracy is unbelievable. It's incomprehensible on what it means. And I don't know, you know, the big fight is going on, and they always talk about political strategy, and I guess everybody has their opinion. But it might have been just as well to let it go and let it kill itself. You know, if you can't stop it, just make sure people know the harm that it's doing. But my argument on this Obamacare and this whole thing, if we want to, you know, get one item for liberty is protect this principle of the right to opt out. If the government is doing something, if it's mandatory for everybody, that is very, very dangerous. If it's mandatory that everybody go to the government schools, that is very, very dangerous, and there's still a lot of people who want to do that. But if you give us medical care, like Obamacare is, everybody has to do it. There's an individual mandate, unless you're a friend of the president's and there's a special corporation, or you work for the government, something like that, then you get the exemptions. Some of that stuff is annoying a lot of people, and rightfully so. So I think this argument and battle is far from over.
Dr. Paul, when we continue the weekly podcast in a moment, I'd like you to comment briefly, if you would, about the peculiar relationship between the rising national debt ceiling and the price of gold. That's next.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself, because you're buying something you want, and helping America, because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Several years ago, to coincide with the publication of one of my books, I produced a chart that overlaid the increase in the price of gold with the constantly stepped up national debt ceiling. It's a very close relationship. Have you seen that?
I have, and there's obviously a lot of truth to that. And if you look at it, you know, our 10, 11, almost 12 years of history, you would say, well, it's really done that, you know. In long term, that is it. If a government spend too much, borrow too much, and print too much, it's going to be discounted by the dollar price of gold going up. But some people will say, oh, no, you know, we're currently in a situation, they're spending more, and there's chaos in Washington. Why isn't the gold price at its historic highs? But I think you have to look to Austrian economics to understand that, because increasing the money supply is important, and everybody, you know, you can go back all the way to 1913 and make your case for that. But that doesn't mean instantaneously every single day that that money is discounted. I think the money created in the last couple of years really hasn't been discounted in the price levels or in gold. And the longer it seems to be held in check, because there are various factors that might do this, psychological as well as maybe what our own government does. But I think that does it sort of like delaying the housing bubble. Then it gets bigger, then when it bursts, it's much worse. So I think when they delay the adjustment, or the adjustment is delayed, then I think there's a bursting forth. And then I think that's what eventually will happen to the dollar. The dollar will go down and gold is going to go up. And of course, the greatest fear that we should have is when we see that confidence is lost in the dollar and you have runaway inflation. And if they get away with that and they, you know, take QE3 and make it, instead of $85 billion a month, $150 billion a month, they can get away with that. They've created a lot of magic. The only thing is, in Austrian economics, you can't say tomorrow the price of gold is going to do this or exactly in next year. But your point about debt in relationship to gold, I think, is very, very accurate. But it has to be modified a little on long term. And you can't say on a day-to-day basis that you can identify that.
Dr. Paul, thank you for your time and another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.